We do now come to God's Word this morning. We're in Luke chapter 5. We made it to Luke chapter 5 together. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11 together this morning out of Luke chapter 5. So I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, you have promised that your word will not return to you void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. So we ask, Father, that you would accomplish your purposes this morning through the preaching of your word. Convict us of our sin and comfort us with your gospel. Glorify Christ in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll never forget my first fishing pole. I made it myself. I went to the backyard and I grabbed a stick. I went to my dad's toolbox and I got some copper wire for the fishing line. I borrowed a safety pin from my mom's sewing kit and I put it all together, and you probably had the worst looking fishing pole you've ever seen. But I was so proud of that thing. I was so proud. In fact, I went to the backyard and I spent about an hour digging up worms. I jumped on my bike and I went right down to the lake to put my creation to the test. And it went very poorly. You see, copper wire makes poor fishing line. Very bad fishing line. And the safety pin hook that I constructed, it almost immediately fell off the end of the line and into the water because I hadn't fastened it correctly. And all the worms that I collected, I left them out in the sun and they all died. So I left that lake that day feeling completely defeated. I'd been so excited. I'd worked so hard only to have it come up with nothing. Christian, perhaps you're feeling a little bit of that this morning in your walk with Christ. You were so excited when you first started out following Jesus. You were ready to do anything and everything to follow him. But now you find yourself despairing and discouraged, just worn down by the reality of life, feeling frustrated and defeated, perhaps even feeling like you're wanting to give up on following Christ altogether. Well, our passage speaks into this reality this morning. In this story here of a frustrating fishing trip, we find Christ in this passage entering into the frustration and the toil of Simon Peter, entering into his futility and toil, teaching him what it means to follow him. Jesus in this passage teaches Peter and us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that unlike the story of my first fishing trip, frustration and defeat are not the end of the story when it comes to our walk with Christ. In fact, it is often during the moments of frustration and defeat that Christ begins to work most saliently in our lives. That's what we see in this passage that during these moments of frustration, defeat, and defeat, Christ begins to work most in our lives. You see, we need to remember the overarching theme of this book of Luke, where we got the name for this series, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came to enter into our lostness and to save us for himself. He came to enter into our frustration, enter into our defeat in order to save us and to call us to follow him. Frustration and defeat are not the end of our walk with Christ. In fact, because he comes to seek and to save us out in them, they're actually the beginning of being able to follow him more fully. That's what we see in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. We see a picture of this reality. We find Christ demonstrating to Peter here the true meaning of being a disciple. What is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Someone sought, saved, and sent by Christ. Those will be our headings this morning. A disciple, someone who is sought, saved, and sent by Christ. So first, as this passage begins, we find the disciple is someone who is sought out by Christ. We continue to find Christ in this passage. He's still in the region of Galilee. He was speaking to a people gathered around the Sea of Galilee, or as was also called the Lake of Gennesaret. As he spoke, the crowds continued to grow. They began to press in on him to hear what he has to say. And do you notice how Luke describes what was coming from Christ's lips? Notice how Luke describes it. They were coming to hear the word of God. Every word from Christ's mouth was the word of God. As these crowds gathered around, the Son of Man was doing exactly what he was sent to do. He was seeking and saving the people of God by his word. Christ is seeking the lost as he's always sought the lost, by his word and by his spirit. And as he speaks, a fisherman is standing nearby, a man called Simon, who would later come to be called Peter. No doubt he was out, he was drying his nets after a long night of fishing. He'd been up all night, he'd been pulling an all-nighter to fish. And as we learn later on in this passage, this fishing trip had come up empty. He'd had to go home with a fruitless, with no fruit for his labors. He was frustrated, he was exhausted, and he was probably about to return home to his family empty-handed. And yet he stood there hearing the word of God that came from the mouth of Christ. And then to his surprise, Christ asks something of him. It was Peter's turn for a lesson. He asks for his boat. He turns to Peter and asks for his boat. Can you imagine just for a moment how Peter felt in that moment? He'd just been up all night working. He was probably getting ready to go home and take a nap. He was exhausted, frustrated, and defeated. And then Christ asks him to get back into his boat again and keep working. And then he asks something further. We all right? All right, we're okay. Maybe there's a fire alarm or something. So Christ asks Peter here to get back into his boat and keep working. Peter obliges. He does what Christ asks. And then Christ continues to teach from the boat. When he's done teaching, he turns to Peter, and it's Peter's turn for another lesson. It was his turn to be sought out, specifically by God's word and spirit. And this would be a difficult and a costly word for Peter. Notice what he says in verse 4. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." It was one thing for Christ to ask Peter to get back into his boat for a moment to let him teach. But now he's asking Peter, this fisherman, to go out into the deep waters and to cast down his nets to go fishing during the daytime, to load these hundreds of pounds of nets that were probably still wet back into the boat and go fishing out in the deep water during the daytime. Daytime is not when you go fishing with nets. During the daytime, all the fish, they descend to the deeper water during the daytime. Those of you who are fishermen know this. They descend from the upper water to the deeper water during the daytime where it's cool. So it's very hard to catch fish during the daytime with nets. And Peter knows this. He's a good fisherman. He knows what he's doing. And again, you can only imagine his exasperation when Jesus, the carpenter, asks him to go out into the deep water and begin fishing during the daytime. He reacts probably the way that you react when somebody who you think doesn't know what they're doing tells you how to do your job. He's exasperated. That's what he says. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. In other words, Jesus, we've already tried that. We toiled all night and took nothing. This word toil that he uses here, it refers to this wearisome, exhausting work. How do you feel when you have worked and worked and worked only to have that work result in nothing? That's how Peter feels here in this moment. And that's exactly where Christ is seeking him. Christ is seeking Peter out in the midst of his deepest insecurity and failure, in the midst of his exasperation. And he's saying to Peter, you finally come to the end of yourself. You've tried so hard. You've finally come to the end of yourself. Now you're ready to be a disciple. And brothers and sisters, that's where Christ seeks us as well. Maybe you are here this morning and you are just exasperated and exhausted in your walk with Christ. You've tried and tried and tried, and it feels like the nets are just coming back empty. It's producing nothing. Maybe you're like Peter, you've said in your heart, Lord, I have tried that already. I've tried reading my Bible. I've tried praying. I've tried coming to church. I've tried, and it's not working. If this describes you, I want you to hear that getting to this place of exhaustion and exasperation is actually good news, because this is where Christ meets you. This is where he seeks you out, in the place of saying, I have tried so hard, and it feels like it's accomplishing nothing. Christ is with you in that place, and he has a very important lesson for you, the same lesson that he tells Peter here. That when you finally come to the end of yourself, now you're ready to be a disciple. And then he asks something difficult of you. Again, something that he asks of Peter here. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? I know you've tried, but I'm asking you to do something even harder than trying. I know you've tried, but will you trust? Will you trust my word? Is my word enough for you? You see, the toil and the futility of this life are meant to bring us into a place of dependent trust on the Word of God. When we realize, finally, that we are not enough and that trying harder is not working, this is where Christ meets us. When we finally come to the end of ourselves, that's where discipleship begins, brothers and sisters. And that's where Christ calls us to trust him. Now, how does Peter respond to this request from Christ? How does he respond? First, he responds like only Peter would, with this honest cry of exasperation. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. There's honesty, but then notice how he responds further to Christ's request to trust him. Notice what he says in the second half of verse 5. The first half is honest exasperation. The second half of verse 5, but at your word. But at your word, I will let down the nets. We tend to give Peter a bit of a hard time as Christians. With all the things that he says and does in the Gospels, he can become somewhat of an apostolic punching bag. But here we see that he responds in a way that would be very hard for us to respond if we were in his sandals here in this boat with Jesus. We would have a very hard time responding to the way that he responds to Jesus' impossible, costly request. In the midst of his frustration, defeat, and failure, he responds with simple faith in the word of Christ. Simple, costly faith. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And as a result of this faith, the same Christ who sought him out in the midst of his toil was about to save him out of his futility. A disciple, someone who is sought out by Christ and in the midst of their need, and a disciple, someone who is saved by simple, costly faith in his word. And brothers and sisters, the reality is that Christ always proves worthy of our trust. He always proves worthy of our trust, no matter how costly it is. That's what we see here. We read in verse 6, that when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. What this verse says literally in the original language is that the disciples enclosed a multitude of many fish. A multitude of many fish. This is a miraculous and abundant provision of God. They had so many fish that it says that other boats had to be called to help them. And even then there were so many fish that those other boats began to sink. During the worst time of day for fishing, after a night of fruitless toil, simple faith in the word of Christ resulted in abundant provision. Christ had sought and he had saved. Oh, brothers and sisters, Christ is worthy of your trust. He is with you in those moments of toil and futility. He's with you even when those situations seem impossible, when you've tried and tried and tried and come up empty. He is with you and he promises you something. He gives you his promise. That's what Paul will go on to say in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the promise, brothers and sisters. God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As you seek to follow Christ, even in the midst of toil and frustration, trust this word. Trust in his provision. Trust that Christ seeks and he saves. Now, how does Peter respond here to this provision? How does he respond to Christ's glorious power to save? Notice what he says in verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter responds here to Christ's glorious power with a humble acknowledgement of his sin, a humble acknowledgement of his unworthiness. And it is in this that we see a crucial aspect of what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Because to be a disciple of Christ is not just to be saved out of your circumstances. It is not just to be saved out of your circumstantial toil and frustration. What we see here from this passage is that to follow Christ means so much more. To be a disciple of Christ means, first and foremost, to be saved out of your sin. To be saved from your sin. You see, it is our sin that is the ultimate source of toil and futility in our lives. Do you know that? That the ultimate source of toil and futility in our lives is our sin. We need to hear this as we seek to follow Christ. The main reason, Christian, that you fail to follow Christ as you should is not because you lack the information or skills to do so. It is not something circumstantial that is the impediment to your ability to follow Christ as you should. Here's the reason why you don't follow Christ as you should. First and foremost, you have a sinful heart that resists the will of God for you. That's your biggest problem. That's the biggest source of toil and frustration in your seeking to follow Christ. Your heart resists it because your heart is sick with sin. And so you need God to do something about that in your heart before you're ever able to do anything to follow him. It's our sinful pride that separates us from God and leaves us under his wrath and curse. We need to be saved ultimately, not from our circumstances, but from our sin, from our trying to be our own God, from our trying to do it on our own. Christ is that Savior for us. Christ is the great and abundant provision of God for our sins. He came to seek and to save those who were lost in their trespasses and sins and to save them by his all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross. That's what Peter recognizes here. You might think that it's an odd response to this miraculous, abundant provision of fish, but he recognizes something here. Peter recognizes that what he has just seen is about so much more than just this abundant provision of fish. He realizes he's in the presence of his Savior. And in the presence of his Savior, in the glory of his Savior, he sees the depth of his sin. Brothers and sisters, the beginning of being a disciple of Jesus Christ means living in the humble awareness of our sin and our need of the abundant provision, the abundant salvation of Christ. The emptiness of our sin, the toil and the futility of our sin should drive us in repentance to the fullness of Christ. Notice what Christ says in response to Peter's confession here. Verse 10, Christ tells Peter, "Do not be afraid." Notice what he doesn't say to Peter. He doesn't say to Peter, "No, you're not a sinner. Don't worry about that. It's not so bad, Peter. You're not a sinner. You're doing just fine." No, he speaks into Peter's sin, saying, "You are a sinner. You are unworthy. But do not fear. I meet you with mercy. Do not fear." The only reason that Christ can say this to Peter, "Do not fear in the face of his sin," is because he is an all-sufficient sacrifice for sins. Because he is a Savior. Because Christ came to seek and to save Peter from his sin, he can say to Peter definitively, "You don't need to be afraid." Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that having been sought and saved out of the toil and futility of our sin, we can live now in humble confidence of our salvation. Humble confidence, no fear, knowing that God has provided every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As we come to the end of this passage, we find one final characteristic of a disciple. We find that a disciple is someone who is sought, saved, and finally sent by Christ. Parallel here to Christ's word of comfort to Peter in verse 10, we find a word of commissioning. He says to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." Christ compares Peter's vocation as a fisherman with the vocation he's about to be called into. The vocation of preaching the gospel as an apostle. He's saying to Peter, "You have been catching fish, but now you'll be catching men." It's an odd comparison biblically, because in the Old Testament, fishing was almost always a metaphor for God's judgment. Those who were caught in God's net were caught in the net of his judgment and wrath. It was a bad thing to be caught by God biblically in the Old Testament. But notice how Christ reverses the metaphor here. He calls Peter and the rest of his disciples to draw the unrighteous and sinners not to his wrath, but to his free mercy and grace offered in the gospel. So that now those who are caught by God are caught by his free mercy and grace for their salvation. That is the mission of disciples of Jesus Christ. We are sent to proclaim the good news of the gospel. We're sent by God's word and spirit to draw the unrighteous and sinners to the glory of Christ and to the free offer of salvation found in him. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he sends us to do the same thing in his name. You see, Christ transforms the toil and the futility of life by sending us out to live for an immensely important purpose, a wonderful purpose, the purpose of using everything in our lives to glorify Christ and preach his gospel, even our frustration and defeat. You see, even our frustration and defeat can be something that we use to preach the gospel, to testify to the glory of Christ's work in our lives. Nothing in our lives is wasted. It is all used for the glory of Christ. The question that I have for us this morning is, does this reflect our lives? Do our lives reflect this reality? Do we live as a sent people? Do we live as people who are transformed by Christ and sent out into this world to preach his gospel? Is that the defining purpose for your life? Take that question home with you this week. How can you begin to use all of your life for the glory of Christ? How can you begin to live as a sent person? Because the best part, brothers and sisters, is that we're not sent out on our own. We're not sent out by ourselves. Notice at the end of verse 11 that having sent his disciples leave everything and they do what? They follow him. His disciples leave everything and follow him. Being sent means first and foremost following Jesus. Jesus is not a drill sergeant who sends us away from himself with marching orders. No, he promises to be with us and near us every step of the way. He is our good shepherd, and he helps us, and he's with us by his word and spirit. That's the assurance that we can have as we are sent. You know, believe it or not, I wasn't scarred for life after my first fishing experience. I actually quite enjoy fishing nowadays when I can actually find the time for it, because I learned something. That when you do not know what you're doing and you're using the wrong tools, fishing is terrible. Don't go fishing when you don't know what you're doing and you're using the wrong tools. It's frustrating, toilsome work. But when you actually begin to know a little about what you're doing and you're using the right tools, it's not easy. It requires a lot of patience, but there's a lot of joy to be found. Our brothers and sisters, so much of our frustration in the Christian life is that we are trying to use the wrong tools, that we're trying to use the wrong resources. Beginning to follow Christ means giving up on using your own resources and using your own power. When we try to live this life independently of him, in our own power, in our own strength, the result will always be frustration and toil because we're using the wrong tools. We're not enough, but Christ and his gospel is enough. And he's working in those moments of toil and frustration. In those moments of toil and frustration, when we finally come to the end of ourselves, that's when we're ready to be a disciple. That's what it means to follow Christ. Christ, our faithful God, enters into our toil and futility and calls us to follow him. And then he sends us out on this wonderful mission. It's a wonderful mission that gives immense purpose to our lives. That our lives don't belong to us. They belong to Christ. And we live in humble dependence on him. It's not easy. Being a disciple is not easy. It requires patience and humble dependence. But I promise you, brothers and sisters, that Christ is with you in it. As he sends you out, Christ is with you in it. And as you follow in his footsteps, there is much joy to be found. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, good and gracious Father, we ask you to be very near to us this morning by your Spirit. We thank you and praise you that from before the foundation of the world, you've purposed to save us in your Son. He's come to seek and to save us from the toil and futility of our sin and to draw us to new life in him. Oh, help us, Father, as we seek to follow Christ. Fill us with your renewing and life-giving Spirit to sustain us. Use even the frustration and defeat of our failures to press us into deeper dependence on Christ, into deeper dependence on his word, and do all of this in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.